Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher.
And you're about to listen to an excerpt from the latest episode of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Jessica Taylor.
And on this episode, we talk about violence against women, why it happens, why we're so often blamed for every fucking trauma that we endure. And it's kind of funny. There's funny parts.
It is. And the psychology of victim blaming and what that means in a society. It's honestly, I was so interested the entire interview and I'm very excited for you guys to hear it.
She's a great guest. And if you want to hear the entirety of the episode, you can go to luminarypodcasts.com. And you can also, while you're there, check out the amazing exclusive podcasts from other people like Russell Brand, Celeste Barber, Guy Raz, Roxanne Gay, who we talk about later on this episode, and our friend Michael Rappaport. So from a psychological perspective, like, I know it's harder to deal with like other people blaming women for whatever it is that we're getting blamed for this week, but like, do you have advice on how to stop blaming yourself? Because I think that's something that a lot of our listeners struggle with, self-blame.
Self-blame is massive. The first thing is to understand your self-blame. That's a good place to start. So to understand that you as a girl and then as a woman, you have been socialized since forever to blame yourself and take responsibility for other people's actions. And that includes when boys and men are being violent or abusive or harassing you or being misogynistic. You are often, as a woman, expected to self-reflect and then change your own behavior. And that happens a lot, all the way through childhood and then your adolescence and then your adulthood as a woman. You are, if something happens to you, like a guy catcalls you or a guy is abusive or whatever, the first thing that will happen is that you will be expected to reflect on what you did and then change for the future. So, oh, I won't do that again. I won't dress like that again. I'm not going to get into another relationship like that, whatever. So the self-blame that a lot of women feel has been constructed over and over and over again in their lives by different people. And sometimes it's well-meaning. Like, you know, it's like family members being like, oh, you know, you seem to always get yourself in relationships like this. Maybe you should, like, you know, stop attracting the wrong guys and you're doing, you know. So that, like, builds into the self-blame. Some of it as well is this sort of belief that comes from the belief in a just world, that you must have done something to bring this on yourself. Like, what a lot of women will say to me, why does this keep happening to me? Like, it seems like men just target me and I've been assaulted repeatedly. I've been in these abusive relationships. I've been raped. And I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the common denominator here. Maybe this is me. And that feeds into the self-blame, because unfortunately, there are a lot of messages in society that will confirm that for women, and they'll say, oh no, yeah, it is you, you know, and you need to change. You need to do something differently to protect yourself from sexual violence, to protect yourself from male violence, and to protect yourself from harassment. So one of the things that I would say is the first step is to really dig at your self-blame and be like, why do you blame yourself? Where did it even come from? Where did it start? Because some women will be able to pinpoint it and they'll be like, oh, I don't know, when I was being abused as a child, the perpetrator kept telling me, you're naughty, you're bad, this is your fault, you deserve this, it's, you know. But in other cases, it's a bit broader than that. So it might be that they attempted to tell their mum when they were, you know, 11 or 17, and that they told them, oh, you know, you're just a bit of a slut, or you're easy, or you keep attracting this attention, and because you wear particular clothes or whatever. And then they take that on and they wrestle with it for many years. So one of the things that you can do, although this does make quite a lot of women angry when they first start processing it, is to, every single time you get a thought like that, is to tell yourself that the guy that did it to you wanted to, and he made an active adult decision as a capable human being to choose to harass you or to choose to assault you, that he didn't just lose his mind for a few minutes. Like, right. He didn't just like, oops, I accidentally assaulted you. You know, he didn't slip and fall over and rape you or anything. He did it because he wanted to. And you have to put all of the blame back on him and be like, no, in that situation, he chose to attack me because he wanted to. So you have to push it all back on him and accept 0% responsibility, like absolutely nothing. But it will make you angry.
Great. sentence. That is a great, great sentence. And there's also these psychological mechanisms at play when people experience trauma that I think will confuse the victim, and then it'll confuse anybody around her that doesn't understand. Well, why did you freeze? If you were saying, you were giving the example of waking up to a man eating you out, and she just, the girl in the pretend example is just like, well, what the fuck? And you freeze. When something traumatic happens to you, you don't know how you're going to react. And sometimes those reactions are, you just can't move. And then a lot of times the body, especially if something occurred at childhood, your brain will block it out, And then you'll remember years later. And then that's why I lose my fucking mind when I hear anybody go, oh, now she chooses to talk about it. Like I can't even articulate myself. That makes me so angry when I hear that reaction.
Yeah, I
think the criminal justice system, the criminal justice system, certainly in America, and I'm sure in the UK too, plays into this, because when you go to court, people will be showing like outfits that the survivor was wearing. They will be showing, obviously talking about alcohol intake, and like, is there a way to like, how do we change that as a society? Because it's like when the very legal system in the place that you live is questioning you, like that's heavy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to both of you have picked up on things that are really important there. So the fact that, for example, society, women, girls, but also professionals, the judiciary, judges, juries, I think they need to know that in over 70% of all rape and sexual assaults, women freeze. And that's research from massive studies, and it was published in 2017. So the norm is to freeze and not fight back. So, it's not fair and it's not scientific to then question a woman in court, like, oh, why didn't you fight back? Why did you just lie there? Well, because that is exactly what happens. That's normal. So she shouldn't have to defend that in court at all, because we know that it's normal. But that doesn't mean that the other 30% fight back. It means that the other 30% actually tend to have other trauma responses. So 70% tend to freeze. And then there's another, I think it's 15 to 20% that do this. It's called a friend reaction, which is where you try and talk your way out of it or into it. So it's sort of like, I'll let you do this, but don't hurt me. Or, okay, well, maybe. Or, trying to make sure that you've almost bargained with the perpetrator that this time it's okay, but don't do this. Or I'll let you do this if you don't do that. And so that's also a very, very normal response to being assaulted, being raped, being trafficked even. It's very normal to have that sort of bargaining response where what you're actually trying to do there is save your life. Because women and girls instinctively know if you start fighting back against some guy, I really, really hate this narrative that women and girls should just learn fucking self-defense or martial arts and then they can just karate kick some guy. Why have they not considered, I always think academics that put this forward, I want to know if they've ever been in a fight with a guy. That's what I want to know. If you're going to stand up in front of a load of women and tell them to learn kickboxing and that they have to be able to fight a guy off if they ever attack them, I want to know if they've ever been in a fight with a guy. Because I've been in fights with guys, and if you hit them, they will hit you back.
Right. That's what I would think would happen.
Yeah.
a guy's going to punch you in the face and you're going to fall over.
Yeah, that's just a physicality thing. Most women are smaller and just weaker, but there's nothing it's not a testament to who you are as a human being. It's just your physical form. I can't fight most men. I'm 5'3". It's not going to work.
It's also, why do we ignore the fact that there are so many athletic, experienced, skilled women in MMA and in, in other forms of martial arts, right? Who have been victims of rape, domestic violence, and assaults, right? So these women...
I didn't think that.
Yeah, because the thing is, they'll freeze because their trauma response is going to take over the fact that they have 20 years of training because they know that they're about to be raped or they're being assaulted or they're in this power dynamic with a partner or an ex-partner where they're not going to fight back anyway because they love that guy and they wish he didn't treat them like that, and they've been groomed or they've been manipulated or they're being blackmailed, they're being threatened. So, from a survival instinct perspective, it's not very intelligent to then start hitting him in the face, because it's going to escalate.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of this. Do you think there would ever be a world in which public school systems would tack on trauma education into not just with pairing it with sex education, but with just all the fucking education that we give the kids and all of the things that we learned that, you know, I fucking learned how to sew a blanket. I would have been much better off learning how the brain reacts involuntarily to trauma to the point where you don't even know how you're going to react until it happens to you, but know that you could fight, you could flight, you know, you could run away or you could freeze, and how that's how you see that in animals. Like I work with this trauma therapist is my personal therapist. And she always points out, look at your dog, look at how your dog breathes with its whole body. When your dog's scared, he shakes. Don't try to calm the dog down. Let the dog get it out of its system because the dog knows it needs to shake it off. And I'm like, if I knew that when I was fucking 7, even or fucking 15, I would have not done so many drugs. I don't know.
right. This point that you're making, I've been thinking about this for weeks, right? And I keep toying with the idea of doing a YouTube video on it, right? I do not understand why millions of people understand trauma triggers in dogs, but not in humans. So so you'll be talking to someone who owns a dog and they'll be like, oh yeah, a couple of years ago, a dog bit them in the park and now they're really nervous and they have anxious responses when they're around dogs. And sometimes, you know, they'll cry or they'll go and hide or whatever. And that's because they're so traumatized from when they got bit by that dog. But then you've got like humans who are really traumatized from that time.
Like, you idiot, you should have punched that guy in the face, you idiot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you sat on the floor saying to your dog, why didn't you just bite the dog back, God? It's so emotional.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Guys, did you like that excerpt? I fucking did. If you're interested in listening to the entire interview, go to luminarypodcasts.com and find more of us and others.
You're gonna fucking love it.
Yeah.
Squirt, squirt.
Yeah. Woo woo.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.